This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Writer Michael Libling has had a successful career writing short stories, but he's about to release his first novel. It's a coming-of-age mystery that spans seven decades and takes place in the hometown where he grew up, Trenton, Ontario. The book is called Hollywood North, a novel in six reels, and it grew out of his 2014 novella that was nominated for a World Fantasy Award. Michael joins us on the line from right here in Montreal. Hi, Michael.
Hello there, Peter. How are you?
Jazz tickety-boo. Thanks very much for being on the program with us. Full disclosure, of course, I know you well. We worked together in the old radio station. And for our other listeners out there, they should also know, you actually hired me as a freelance writer, so I thank you for that.
Funny, I don't remember you at all, Peter. I was on radio with you and I actually hired you. Boy, oh boy, isn't that strange?
Yeah.
As you were saying.
The book, as I said, is Hollywood North, a novel in six reels. And as I said, you have done a lot of short story writing. Going from a short story to a full novel, is that exponentially more difficult?
Just in terms of time. A short story can take... For me, I'm a very slow writer. I correct everything as I move along. I tend not, like a lot of writers will sit down and they tell you, once you start writing, you've got to finish it, go from beginning to end, don't correct anything. I don't work that way at all. I can spend a morning fixing a sentence. With Hollywood North, and that's, I'm going to ramble on here, but that's a great question, because with Hollywood North, it was originally a novella that appeared in the November-December 2014 issue of the Magazine of Fantasy and Science Fiction. And when I was writing the novella, it wanted to be a novel. But before that, despite having sold lots of short stories and I'd written novels before, I wasn't able to sell a novel. And I said, I don't want to spend a year working on this and with no reward again. I'd been through that before. So I decided as I was writing the novella, I kept restraining myself. Oh, I could see where this could go. I could see where that storyline could go. Oh, I want this to happen to that character. I better not even include that character because I have to keep it short. So when it came time to turn it into a novel, and there's reasons why it did become a novel, it was all in my head. It's the first time I've ever written anything where the entire story arc, the characters, everything were sitting in my head. I knew exactly what I wanted to do and where it was going to go.
As I mentioned, it takes place in your hometown of Trenton, Ontario. So tell us what the story is about.
Okay, well, probably a backgrounder is best. I grew up in Trenton with two older sisters in the 50s and 60s. And the town isn't anything special. It certainly didn't appear to me anyhow, living there, that it was anything special. It was a great place to grow up. There was the Air Force Base there. There were beaches nearby. It was a quiet town. It was a population then of about 14,000 people. My parents had a small restaurant there as well. It was called the Theater Bar. And if anybody knows Trenton, it was on the corner of Dundas and Division in the same building as the movie theater, which was great because I got into the movies free every Saturday. I went to all the matinees. It was only after leaving Trenton that I actually found out what a strange little place it was. It has a really bizarre history. 1898, it had one of the largest train wrecks in Canadian history up to that point. 12 people were killed at the time. 1918, there was the British Chemical Plant or something. It was an explosion, a massive explosion that destroyed this. They were making munitions for World War II. 1937, there was a plane collision over town. In 2010, as you may recall, the commander of the Air Force Base, CFB Trenton, was arrested for serial rape and murder. The thing I've left out in telling you all of this, and again, living in the town, we didn't know any of this, but the biggest thing that nobody ever talked about, it was insane. It was the fact that from 1917 to 1934, Trenton had a movie studio. They produced, tons of shorts, one-reelers, two-reelers, and six-reelers, of course, which if anybody doesn't know what a six-reeler is, it was a silent film. It was a feature film. In fact, they made the most expensive silent film in Canadian history there called Carry On Sergeant. But I'm living in this town. I'm in my parents' restaurant. I speak to the regulars all the time. People would come in, they'd grip my arm, and they'd just tell me stories. But this never came up. I didn't even know about it. I heard inklings in the late 80s because they put up a plaque in Trenton that it did have a movie studio. And then in, I think, in 1988 as well, a woman by the name of Peggy Diamond Levy wrote a very small book, but a terrific book, called The Movie Years. And this outlines Trenton's entire history in terms of its film. It was the first place in Canada to be called Hollywood North. But again, I didn't know any of it. So what inspired the novel was all these incidents that I talked about, the train wreck, the plane collision, the commander of the Air Force Base, and the Hollywood, the film studio, I tie it all together. There's a connection to it all, including the fact, why didn't I know about it? Why did people living there not know? Why didn't teachers tell us about it?
Isn't it kind of ironic that you are someone who is known for trivia? You did a trivia radio show for 20 years, and yet there's a deep, dark secret about the hometown that you lived in that no one else seems to know about, including the other inhabitants?
It's the craziest thing of all, and it makes me angry in a way. I mean, I would have loved to have known there was a movie studio there. It might have been life-changing. You know, I went to the matinees. Every Saturday I was in that movie theater from 10 in the morning till 2:30 in the afternoon, watching all these movies. And to think that Trenton was also producing comedies with Broadway stars and even stars from the actual Hollywood would come all the way to Trenton to appear in these films, yeah, it boggled my mind. As much as I hate to say, it boggled my mind.
So you decide to write this book, and again, it's a novel, it's fiction, Hollywood North, yeah. A novel in six reels. Because you're delving into the history of the town you grew up in and the memories of what took place around the town you grew up in, if somebody who grew up with you were to read this book, would they recognize people in the book?
I won't go there. You know, this is all fiction, Peter. It's all fiction. And if anyone sees themselves or someone they knew, strictly a coincidence. But they will recognize a lot of what I talk about in the town. I think anybody who has ever grown up in a small town will recognize a lot of what goes on in this novel. I was in Trenton, I guess, a week ago this past Saturday, and I did my first reading there. It's the first time I've ever read from Hollywood North in the place where it's set. And going into it, I was really very nervous about it. I wasn't sure how they'd react. If you visit Trenton today, it's not the prettiest town. There are a lot of nice towns when you travel between Montreal and Toronto, beautiful little downtowns that are well-preserved. Trenton's is not well-preserved. Now, there's some reasons for it. In the novel, I have a sentence. Trenton has been plagued by fire. They've had lots of fires there. In fact, I think in the novel I make a reference to, in addition to hunting, fishing, and arson, the other favorite pastime is drowning. There's been a lot of tragedy in the area. So I talk about the elementary school I went to, which was called Dufferin Street School. It stood at the foot of Mount Pelion, which is the highest point in that region of Ontario. It's 200 feet high. There's a cannon on top of it. Champlain is said to have been there one time, and he's scouting out the area. But this was great. At recess, we'd go tobogganing during our recess at that school. The thing about the town is, and I was describing the downtown as not being all that super attractive, there's been very little heritage protection, including Dufferin Street School. So Dufferin Street School was built in 1913. They tore it down, I think, circa 2007, and they've built a seniors residence there. A beautiful building. The seniors residence is really nice. But the point is, they built this without any sense of the mountain behind it. So if you have to be walking by or driving by the area, you can't even see the mountain anymore. It's been just obliterated by this building. So I read about these things. I talk about them in the novel, and I thought there'd be some hostility from the people who attended, you know, Trentonians. No. They either laughed or smirked knowingly and coming up to me after and, you know, concerned about certain things about the heritage protection or the lack thereof and elements like that. So, yes, I'm still not sure I answered your question.
Well, you've written in your short stories a lot of science fiction. Would you consider this novel to be science fiction in any way?
No, this isn't science fiction. And really, I don't write a lot of science fiction. And when I do, it's not what you'd call hard science fiction. I write mystery, fantasy, horror, and some science fiction. But what I really do is I write stories about everyday people living everyday lives, and I like to drop one little element into it. With Hollywood North, it's a coming-of-age story, a mystery with elements of fantasy and horror, and it's all based on true events. I mean, there's things in there that aren't true, obviously, because it is fiction, but it is based on actual happenings that are pretty creepy, and not just in Trenton, but in other areas of Ontario, too, that might surprise a lot of people, discovering that, I didn't know that person came from there. Wow, that really happened in that town? So there's some pretty creepy things that are, again, all connected back to Hollywood North.
If you were to do the Hollywood, the elevator pitch for a Hollywood producer, would this be a cross between Stand By Me and Stranger Things?
Stranger Things is how some people have reacted to it. In fact, someone who did a blurb for it had described it as he dropped in Stranger Things. He also dropped it in the same blurb. It's an author called Claude Lelumiere. He also thought it was Woody Allen as well. So Woody Allen and Stranger Things, perhaps. When you write something like this and the agents get involved, they will frequently have you put together a TV pitch, which is something I did. And you have all that famous line. And in describing this, I said, it's think of the Wonder Years meets Stand By Me meets Hugo.
Wow.
So they all sort of tie together. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to reading it. The book is Hollywood North, a novel in 6 reels. It's coming out when?
The ebook will be available everywhere July 30th. In Canada, the paperback release is July 30th, and in the U.S., August 13th.
Congratulations.
I've got the rest of the world, too, but I'll let it go at that.
Congratulations on the book, Michael. Thank you very much for being on the program with us.
Thanks, Peter.
Author Michael Libling. His book is called Hollywood North, a novel in 6 reels. Michael's website is michaellibling.com. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the page for this show, which is show number 0517, and you'll find links to Michael's site, plus links to either amazon.com or amazon.ca, where you can pre-order his book directly.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.